Welcome to the Moving Past You Radio Show, a show about identifying, confronting, and embracing the obstacles that block and delay us in walking in our divine purpose. Each week, we delve into the complexities and rewards of walking in your purpose. Now, here's your host, Juanita Gaynor.
It's Friday, everyone. Hey, how's everyone doing? I pray that you've had an amazing week. And we are ending off the week with a bang. It's the last official Friday of the month. You know, we have working through the first month of the year. And if you've been on social media, if you watch the news or anything like that, this year has started off with a bang, you know. And so we're going to end this month with a bang. And so I'm just so blessed and so excited. I'm so thankful for all of you, how you rally around, how you support, how you share. The guests this season have just been amazing. And so I'm always just looking forward to the next thing. And so tonight we're going to be talking about depression. And I think we overlook it sometimes. We don't really understand the mechanics of it, or we just see one version of depression. And as someone who suffers from depression, I can let you know that there's just so many facets of it. You know, most people who look at me don't think that, you know, like, you don't suffer from depression. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. And so we're going to talk about today, you know, triumphing over depression to craft a story of success. And there are many people who are functioning, you know, in their depression. I have clinical depression. I've never been, you know, shy about my diagnoses, about, you know, promoting great mental health, promoting having a great, you know, therapist and psychotherapist, and things like that. So I am all for it. But I think sometimes there's a confusion on what it is. And so we are planning to have a guest this evening. I think she's having some technical difficulties, but let me tell you the benefit of having a lot of the guests that we have. Many of them share my story. They don't share it exactly how they experience their trauma and whatever. It's completely different, but our stories are so intertwined and unique. So we're never over here going to miss a beat on being able to empower people and uplift people, you know, to get the word out about, you know, moving beyond the obstacles so that you can live in your utmost purpose. Look, it's Friday. So, you know me, I'll keep you on for a few minutes. I'll let you have your Friday and it is all well. But, you know, again, thank you for being here, for sharing, you know, your Friday, because I don't take it lightly that you think of us every week and allow us to come into your home and share the stories of triumph and of hurt and of pain and things like that. So I definitely, definitely appreciate it. So let's get into what's good. Depression. Ooh, as someone who has been diagnosed with clinical depression, there has been days for me where, you know, it's all I can do sometimes is get out of bed. So when people think of depression, they think of somebody who is just, you know, don't want to ever do anything, always sad, always, you know, just, you know, they think it's just this emotional thing, but it's emotional, it's physical, it's psychological, it's spiritual. Depression is something that hits you from all angles. I know, you know, there is times where it just takes everything for me to get out the bed, get in the shower, and get dressed. Anything else is extra. You know, you may have those friends where you go over their house and, you know, for those who are neat freaks, who like everything in place and the kitchen is a mess or the bedroom is a mess, it just sometimes takes us, you know, we only got the energy to get out the bed and to wash. And for some people, they don't even have that energy. For some people, they can't even make it to get themselves out of the bed to be able to, you know, wash whatever. And if you have children, it's worse because you're fighting and the children are motivated to make you get up. And sometimes you still just can't, you know. And when I was diagnosed, I know when I really went into counseling hard, like really went into counseling hard. I remember my therapist was so not upset in the way we would think about it, being upset, but you could tell she was hurt. Like, she didn't want to give me this diagnosis. She didn't want to tell me all the things that was quote unquote wrong. And I'm grateful that she did. One is because most of us who suffer from mental health issues or mental, you know, health issues or depression, anxiety, ADHD, we kind of know. Autism, we kind of know. We have, you know, developed ways to kind of cope and do things, and we've figured out how to maneuver. So we kind of know that these things happen and that they're existing, but we, having someone help us to validate that and then to help us on a path to gain healing, have us on a path to not feel guilty about the way we was wired. Now, I know a lot of people may say, well, they don't believe in all of that depression stuff and whatever. There's a unique caveat to people like me. When you've been abused, when you've been traumatized, it amplifies. Sometimes, a lot of the times, let me not say sometimes, a lot of the times, and I'm also going to put a caveat in there, I am definitely speaking from my experience, my lived experience, what I've gone through and what I continue to go through, and for those of the people that I know and who, you know, have shared their stories. A lot of the times, that trauma, that depression acts like a barrier. It acts like a protector of us. So it withdraws us from sometimes the emotions of the trauma. That's great in the interim when things are happening, but boy, oh boy, when you get big, like, you know, when you're big and you have to really deal with the world, it's hard because you're now, you know, the things that have protected you are now hindering you from living in, you know, really living in the real world as a real adult. You know, when a lot of these things happen to, you know, if you've been abused, physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused, financially abused, you, in the moment, you know, have coping mechanisms. And if you're a child, those coping mechanisms kind of adultify you because we're not supposed to have those types of mechanisms, you know, survivor mechanisms at 5 years old, at 6 years old, you know. So we, our body naturally creates these defenses so that we can move on. And so when I think about my journey, I can tell when there's days when I just am like, okay, I just need to take some time. The benefit of therapy. Let me go back to the first day I ever went into a real therapist office. For most of my life, you know, I had been medicated. Like, they'll give me Valium. Okay, they'll be like, okay, you'll be fine. There was never really a mental health evaluation. There was always something in place to kind of just placate how I felt. And so I remember an incident where I had a complete breakdown, and a good friend of mine had encouraged me to, you know, go to, at our job, we had, you know, everybody's job has the EAP, the employee, you know, employee assistance program. And I'm thinking I just need a life coach. So I called up, I got an appointment the next day. So I go, and I'm talking to this woman, and the sheer horror on her face, I knew something was wrong then. I think it finally clicked in me that there was something real wrong. And I remember her asking me, you know, do you have health insurance? And I said, yeah, I do. She said, I need you to call and make an appointment with your behavioral specialist now. I'm like, okay. And then she was like, no, I mean now. Like, she was so serious. And I remember with the building we was in, you know, most of the older buildings, you can't get good cell reception. And I couldn't get through. We tried and tried. And I made her promise. I said, listen, I'll go and I'll make the appointment. And she just didn't want me to leave. She was like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I said, no, I promise. I'll go make the appointment. So I remember getting home and I said, let me make this appointment because I promised this woman and I'm going to make this appointment. And I don't see what the big deal is, but I'm going to make this appointment. So I made the appointment. And literally, I think the next day I was in with an intake. And I go in, you know, a little naive about, you know, I've never been officially into, you know, therapy session. And I go in and where the doctor, which I will not disclose, you know, you DM me or whatever, I can always, you know, give that referral to who she was. She was just so amazing. She was talking to me. We were doing the intake and I can see as we go kind of navigate more and through it that she was getting more and more concerned. Now, mind you, she's a psychotherapist. Now, there's a difference between your psychotherapist and your psychologist. Your psychotherapist is the one you can talk to. The psychologist is the one that can write the script. So for me, I was really just coming in for a script. Give me no wrong or whatever. I was really just coming in for a script and no problem, you know, none. And so we go through the intake and she asks these questions again and she was just, she didn't want to give me the diagnosis. Like, I remember her calling her colleague in and they were reviewing the thing and he was asking me some questions as well. And so she was telling me, she was like, you know, with the depression, the anxiety, post-traumatic stress. So my official diagnosis, I had generalized anxiety, clinical depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. Of course, I've always had ADHD. And so she was like, I've never had someone in my practice that's had all of everything at the same time. Okay, cool. So she calls her, you know, colleague in who is going to be my psychologist. And I remember us going through the things or whatever. And he's like, well, you know, who's your therapist been since whatever? And I want to put a cautionary tale. Any doctor that gives you medication and they haven't fully diagnosed you or evaluated you, you need to run. I didn't know that when I was younger, but I know that now. And I remember this psychologist telling me, he was like, I'll tell you right now. He says, it's not that you don't need medication. You do. But because you've never been in a therapy setting, he says, I'm not going to give it to you yet. He says, I'm going to have you sit and talk. I'm going to call her, what name should I give her? I'm going to give her Tamara. That's not her name. That's not the therapist's name. But I'm not trying to put people's out there, you know. You know, I'm going to have you speak with Tamara. You're going to talk things out. And if we can't get you, because I was on, not only was I on the ledge, I was dangling by a hair. Like I was completely in full tilt. And he was like, if we can't get you off the ledge that way, we'll then look into medication. And I said, okay, fine. But then he said something to me that changed my trajectory. He says, you're so far down the rabbit hole, you don't even know how far you are. And that it's okay that I wasn't okay. And I think that was the first time ever that my feelings have been validated, that I wasn't feeling crazy, that I didn't feel like I was just, you know, trying to get justification on something. Someone actually acknowledged the pain, the hurt, and the trauma that I went through that I wasn't okay and it was okay. He said that it is their job to work with me to help me become okay. And so what usually would have been just a normal session, because she didn't have another appointment after that, it kind of extended. And this amazing therapist, she had worked with people like me, you know, who had been physically abused, sexually abused, who had dealt with domestic violence. Like, she worked in places that, you know, for me at the time, when all of this was going down, my event management company was flourishing. So the companies and the organizations she had worked with, I had done events for. I had been hired by them. I knew these people. I knew what these organizations stood for. So I knew that she wasn't just, you know, talking the talk. Like, she was really about the life of helping people like myself who had been traumatized at such a young age. When I tell you, we begin walking the walk, we begin unpacking things. I began learning that feelings are there to be felt. I remember dealing with and experiencing so many different emotions at one time and calling her and be like, why am I feeling this way? Or why? Because as someone who suffers from depression, or someone who's been traumatized to believe that your feelings don't matter, you don't know what those feelings are. So even in a depressive state, you don't know what those feelings should be. You think they're weak, so you shut down. And she would say to me, well, if you didn't feel that way, I would be concerned. What? So I'm supposed to be like this sometimes, like, I'm crying. What are you talking about? She said, you have to go through these emotions so that you can understand what they are, understand how they feel. And she's like, and it is my job to walk you through how to manage those feelings and how to interpret those feelings. She was like, not all emotion is fight or flight. You know, and you're talking to a person who would never cry, who didn't care. And it's not that I didn't care. Let me stop saying that about myself and saying that for others. It's not that we don't care. We don't know how to care. We don't know what to do with all of those emotions that are inside because we've never been allowed to express them. You know, anytime we express them, we're over-exaggerating, or we're thinking too much, or we're being dramatic, you know, or we're just seeking attention. And that's not the case. So as we've navigated through certain things, this is some time now. And I remember one day I was just feeling really down and I just didn't want to do anything. And I called her again because now I'm concerned. Because, you know, you're learning the new things. Like, okay, you're not supposed to always feel this way or whatever. And this is what she shared with me and I'm going to share with you. She said, it is okay if, like, maybe one, maybe 2 days, it's just the world is just so overwhelming that you just need to just take a nap sometimes and just let your body adjust. She says, but after the second day and there's a problem, she says, I need you to call me. She says, because then it's taking over your life. She says, we're not equipped to handle everything all the time. Sometimes our body just needs to rest. Sometimes our mind just needs to rest. And I took that motto. Now, for me, as I've grown into my healing, you know, after a day, it's just like, okay, we can't do this. You know, I'm grateful to have a partner who recognizes, you know, because I'm this introvert as well. So I can stay in the house. So depression, if you're an introvert or you have introverted friends who are going through depression, you need to roll up on them. I'm telling you, as an introverted person, you know, I know my baby will roll up on me and be like, okay, let's go. We're going to go out to eat. And I'll pout. I don't want to go. Then while I'm getting dressed to go, you know, because he's sensed that, you know, something in my voice changed, or something in how I expressed something changed, or I posted something, or I responded back in a way that he picked up, was like, nah, something else is going on. And we go and eat and I'm fine because he didn't allow me. It was like, okay, I know you're going through, And we're going to get you out of this thing. We're going to get you into the space. We're going to, you know, get some fresh air into you, you know. And that's what you got to do sometimes. Even if you're going through initially 48-hour rule, you have to begin to journal more. Like me, journaling more was definitely necessary to get those emotions out. Having an accountability partner. And here's the thing. These are the things that you learn after therapy. Now, let me explain the difference between, you know, another people follow me, you know, I'm a coach, my trauma coach, whatever. There's a difference between a trauma coach and a, you know, therapist. We help you through the plan the life things, get to the root of some things and help you plan out those challenges. Some of us work hand in hand with your therapist to get you to the next level. But your therapist, your psychotherapist and your psychiatrist are the people who are clinically there to navigate you through traumas and work through those emotions to get you on an even keeled place. They can identify if medication is needed. They will be the one to prescribe it. They will be the one to say to me, hey, you know, the thing that you're working on regarding this, he or she's not ready to go there yet. You're going to have to modify that course correction because they're still here. They can't go here. They're still here. And so that's what that is. We work together in conjunction to get you to where your life goals are. But I'm heavily on professional mental health help, professional help. Because when I think about right now where I was about 7-8 years ago, I was at such a low place. Like my life where it is now wasn't even a thought process. The show wasn't even in a thought process when I was at just my lowest. And to see where it is now, to, you know, have the blessing of being able to close down an event management firm that is 30 years old, to have an accounting firm that is, you know, 5+ years old, to have, this is the fifth year of this show, the fifth year anniversary of the show, to have, to be a successful author, to have, you know, a host of friends and connections and family, and have built a life that looks the way it looks right now. About 7-8 years ago, when I was really deep in that, you know, depression, that anxiety, that PTSD, this, you could have told me that this is where I would be sitting, you know, January 26th of 2024. Because January 26th of 2017, I was just coming off one of the most horrific time periods. And even before then, you know, I can take it all the way back to 2013. I can take it back 10 years where I didn't know if I would make it to the next year, let alone 5 years, because that cloud of depression was heavily there, you know. And I'm gonna take it one step further. My faith, my prayer life, my relationship with God, it got tight. It got real tight, real quick, because it was just me. You know, there was a situation where he had isolated me. He had made it where, you know, the people who used to depend on me, whatever, they didn't have that anymore. And so I had to depend on him. And he took me through. He covered me. He let me know that the person that was working with me was the person he needed me to be with. And I never doubted and I never wavered. Did me and God have some conversations? Oh, yes, we did. We had some conversations because I'd be like, player, what's going on? What are you doing? I need some understanding. But to sit here today and think back, it was funny because, you know, I was just talking with the babe. I call him the babe. We was just talking a couple of days ago about 2 years ago. Think about it. Just where we were 2 years ago compared to where we're at right now. You know, none of this process, this, you know, success wasn't even a thought process 2 years ago. But God is just amazing, you know. And I know many will say, well, go to your pastor. That's not what your pastor's for. My pastor is for my spiritual health, my, you know, for guiding me and all things spiritual. But he always also prays for me, prays over me, you know, instructs me to what God needs me to do as I'm working with my therapist. Like, I don't go to my pastor and be like, hey, I'm about to have open heart surgery. What do you think? We don't do that with anything else but mental health. And we have to stop that. We have to stop doing that because we are putting our spiritual leaders at risk because that's not what they were assigned to do. That's not what they signed up to do, but they do it for the love of you because they love you, because they are invested in you being successful. They allow you to dump that on them, and that's where the enemy comes in. But that's a whole other topic. We'll talk about that another time. But I'm grateful on this day of the journey. And so success may look different for everyone. Success for you may be able to talk about your story and not completely break down. Success for you may, you know, be that book. Success for you is promotion at your job. Success for you may be that, you know, you've done, you know, podcasts and other things. Everyone's success is different, but overcoming the depression. And let me explain something. When I say overcoming it, I mean the initial crux of the depression that has you so bogged down that you can't do anything. Because just like healing, healing is a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you're going to have days that you just feel like, I don't want to do this. And you want to throw in the towel. You're going to have days where I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to wake up in about a couple of hours and we're going to run this. You're going to have days where you're going to be like, you know what? I need some ice cream and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch TV all day. And I'm just not going to do nothing. That's fine too. But just know that after that, your work is still here waiting for you. And how you navigate and how you move shows others how they can get through too. So stop waiting for your life to be perfect. Stop waiting for everything to line up. Stop waiting for, oh, I just need this moment. Stop doing that. Because somebody's behind the scenes looking at you right now and is taking your lead. It is thanking God for you every day to see how you maneuver, how you, you know, get through things. Be open, be transparent. Tell your story. You'd be surprised when I started really opening up and talking about my story and sharing, I realized that I wasn't alone. And I think that's the biggest thing for us. You know, we think that we're alone until we really begin to talk to others, until we really begin to put our story out there. You're going to be amazed at how many people are going through the same thing. How many are, you know, looking and working to be better, to get to the next level? So share your story, live your truth, and just be authentically you. And you can have the success that you need to have. Like I said, everyone's journey to success is different. What everyone considers success is different. embrace your success, and live your fullest life. So thank you for joining me this evening. It was a grateful pleasure to just share with you, give you inspiration, and give you hope. And so next Friday, oh my God, it'll be February. Next Friday, we jump off with Black History Month. And we got a couple amazing things for you too. We got some amazing guests that month, but we definitely have a special show for you all next week. So I want you to take this weekend. I want you to look at those around you, look at your circle, and give them love just like they give you love. And if you don't have that, it's time to find it. Okay. Don't beat yourself up. You don't. You'll eventually get it. It's a process. It's a marathon. Stop trying to run the 100 when you're doing the 880. Okay. Love you guys so much. Be blessed. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And I will see you next Friday, same time, same location. Love you guys very much. Be blessed.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Moving Past You Radio Show. Make sure to visit our website at www.movingpastyou.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you found value in the show, rate us on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. And be sure to tune in next Friday for our next episode. And remember to always be kind in your word, your thought, and in your deed. Be blessed.